Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, the scripture is from John 9. I'm using the Message because I just like the way the words are in it. It points out some interesting things. God does not punish us with physical illness because of the things we do wrong. You'll hear that. And God makes a point out of the fact that people don't always do what they know inside they should do, even when it comes to family. That's kind of interesting. The title of this section is John 9. It's a whole chapter, so it takes a while. Is true blindness. There's blindness of the eye, and then there is true blindness. So that's the concept. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause-effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there's plenty of light. I am the world's light." He said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes, and said, "Go, wash at the pool of Siloam," and that word means sent. The man went and washed, and he saw. Soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, "Why, isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged?" Others said, "It's him, all right." But others objected, "It's not the same man at all. It just looks like him." He said, "It's me, the very one." They said, "How did you get your eyes opened?" "A man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Well, I did what he said. When I washed, I saw." "So where is he?" "I don't know." They marched the man to the Pharisees. This day, when Jesus made the paste and healed the blindness, was the Sabbath. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he had come to see. He said, "He put a clay paste on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Obviously, this man can't be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath." Others countered, "How can a bad man do miracles? God revealing things like this." There was a split in their ranks. They came back at the blind man. "You're the expert. He opened your eyes. What do you say about him?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews didn't believe it, didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. They asked him, "Is this your son?" They talked to the parents. "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? So how is it that he now sees?" His parents said, "We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know how he came to see, having a clue about who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's a grown man and can speak for himself." His parents were talking like this because they were intimidated by the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who took a stand that this was the Messiah would be kicked out of the meeting place. That's why his parents said, "Ask him, he's a grown man." They called the man back a second time, the man who had been blind, and told him, "Give credit to God. We know this man is an impostor." He replied, "I know nothing about that one way or the other, but I know one thing for sure. I was blind. I now see." They said, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I've told you over and over and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples?" With that, they jumped all over him. "You might be the disciple of that man, but we're disciples of Moses. We know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea where this man even comes from." The man replied, "This is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is, he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will." If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They said, "You're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us?" They threw him out on the street. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. He asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice?" "Master, I believe," the man said, and worshiped him. Jesus then said, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all distinctions clear so that those who have never seen him will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." Some Pharisees overheard him and said, "Does that mean you're calling us blind?" Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure." Thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that we have been able to come here today and to hear your word, to study your word, to learn your will for our lives. Be with us today and guide us in our time here so we might learn to be in you in all things. Through Jesus, your Son, we do pray. Amen. Where do we start? As I was writing this, my mind went in all kinds of directions. I got thinking about it. Oh, I dropped something. Oh, Sunday school notes. We don't want to lose those. You should join us for Sunday school. But I got thinking about all kinds of things. And I'm sitting here. The longer I think about it, the more I'm thinking, how many different scriptures and how many different titles I could give to this scripture and things to talk about. Initially, I thought about talking about just being blind to our spiritual lives, or maybe we're just think about ourselves as being like the blind man. I mean, can you imagine Jesus healed him? Did he ever get to see Jesus? Well, no, he sent him away as soon as he put the mud on his eyes. And he sent him away, and he went down to the pool of Siloam and washed. And how would he be able to identify Jesus? We start to think about that stuff, and I got thinking. But you know, this whole script, this whole chapter, John devoted to the blame game. Who do we blame for this? I got thinking about it. Really is playing the blame game. Isn't that what we all seem to do? Isn't that what happened to Christ? I mean, as we think about our Lenten season,
Who was to blame? Who can we blame for this? I mean, we all do this, don't we? I think about, you know, we recognize this blame game. I got thinking of there was a little story of a little girl, because we learned this at a very young age. So this little girl, she's out, she's riding her bike, and all of a sudden, something hits her in the back of the head as she hits this low hanging branch. Didn't realize it. Comes running in the house, "Mommy, Mommy, Joey hit me." And Mom looks at her. She says, "Sissy, that can't be. Joey's at the store with your dad." She looks a little disgruntled about it. "You mean the bad things can happen to me and then nobody's at fault?" Mom says, "Yep, bad things can happen to you and nothing's at fault." She said, "Whoa, bummer." Well, it is a bummer, isn't it? Bad things happen. And when we looked at our text today, I think about this. So Jesus, he comes into the temple, and here's this blind man, been blind from birth. Now, we don't know why he's blind or how this happened. I got thinking about it. So why would a child be blind? Who do we blame for this man's blindness, that he's become this way? Who do we blame? And Jesus, he looks up and he's curious and thinking, "No, wait a minute. We got to blame somebody for this?" Of course, Jesus, he tells him, well, he's this way to reveal God's glory. That was kind of a curious answer, wasn't it? Well, think about it. So if you follow the disciples' line of thinking, I got looking at it, and I'm thinking, okay, so if I'm following their line of thinking, and I'm thinking that somebody's got to be to blame for this, so really they're thinking, okay, so what does child do to get blamed for this? I mean, did he kick his mother in the belly before he was born? I mean, maybe one kick too hard. But if it wasn't his fault, then they're thinking, well, maybe it was the parents' fault. Well, can you imagine, especially you moms and dads, can you imagine having your child born blind and then the guilt that would follow if you thought for a moment that it was because of some sin you had in the past, something maybe you didn't even realize you had done? How horrible that would be. How could that possibly be God's will? I got thinking about God's will in all of this. What is God's will? He wants us healthy, doesn't he? He wants us happy. He wants only the best for us, the good. I got thinking about that. The more I thought about it, I thought, there's too many of us around today that don't really understand it. We get confused. We think anytime we see something bad happen, that God did this. We see a storm and God did this. Or we have anger in our lives or somebody betrays us or whatever the case may be, we have some anguish that happens in our lives. I want to blame somebody for this, don't I? Why do we do that? Because we want control, don't we? That's what it's all about. It's trying to find some semblance, some control, some glimpse that we can have actually control over what happens around us, when in actuality, we have no control. Because as Christians, we know that God's the one who's in control, and he's in control of everything. So the only thing we can control is the way we look at things. When we learn not to blame, but look at all situations to the glory of God. Best ways, how do we describe this? I've looked at this a lot of ways in all my life, and I'm trying to think, how do we look at this? In Romans, Paul wrote, we're having an awful time here today. I'm going to get all tangled up. How many of you know Romans 8:28 by heart? Come on. I bet you do. You just don't recognize the number. Romans 8:28. For in all things God works for the good of those who love him, right? Very familiar verse. And as I thought about that, as I read that verse more and more, it's like I have a better understanding. And he says in Romans 8:28, from the NIV, this is the way he puts it, he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So in other words, it's telling us that God can even use the most adverse circumstances to bring a blessing into your life. Do you think God ever provides anything that's bad for you? Is it even possible? I think about there's so many stories in the Bible. We see where God's wrath is shown. Well, what is God's wrath? How about if it's just that God allows things in this world to happen? It's not that he causes them. He has no will. God can do no harm. He only allows it. So when he allows it, think about it when it doesn't happen to you. So how much good is he doing that you don't even know about? Because he kept you from harm. Because he had in mind to have his will done through you, so that good might come of all things. Years ago, I wrote, and I based it on a verse from the Bible. I mean, it was from Isaiah 65. Verse 24 says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Before I call, they will answer. How many times do we forget that? He's already got it planned. He already knows our future. This song kind of talks about a girl who's really desperate, tired of being alone. She's cold and looking for someone, all to be with through lonely nights and days alone. She walks to an empty church, and she prays to God, be by my side. I'm afraid of lonely nights. The prayer that we're praying is heard, my God, and always, it's always opens a door. Well, the door was left open wide. He goes to closing tide and sees a girl on her knees in prayer. Ah, she prays to God, be by my side. For I'm afraid lonely night. A prayer to praying is heard by God, and always your soul always opens eyes with tears from lonely years. Oh, she sees him, and he says, it's cold outside, the door was left open wide. Oh, excuse me for disturbing you, but that prayer you've prayed, I've often prayed to a prayer, and that was praying is heard by God and always, it's always opens a door. Blind man. I think about the blind man. I think we're all too much like him. We're blind to God's everyday works in our lives. We always want control, so we're always playing the blame game. It's time to stop blaming, isn't it? Maybe it's time to see God's will in our lives, God's hand, how it works in our lives. You know, because when we see that, we become better people instead of bitter people. We see too many Christians as bitter these days, feeling defeated. We let that guilt in our hearts. We let that sense of blaming others for things defeat us. Because we forget what God has already done for us and that he wants nothing but good for us in all that we do. Paul wrote, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We need to understand that before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. Quit playing the blame game. See God's well hand at work in your lives. He wants nothing but good for you. Will provide nothing but good. Imagine how much he's already kept you from. And all those you love around you. Praise him. Amen. Hey, let's sing together. I think we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Isn't that what we got next?